May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Probably a verse is maybe after John 3:16 that most believers who really spend any time in the Bible at all, the scripture they have memorized is 1 John 1:9, because it's so appropriate to our lives, because we do fall and we do sin. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gospel reading that Ron read is interesting because it talks about Jesus forgiving this man's sins or telling him to rise up and walk. And when he first said to him, was the first thing he said to him was, your sins are forgiven. And then the Pharisees got upset because who did he think he was to declare somebody's sins forgiven? And so he did it another way. But the point was, from the very beginning, he was going to bring about healing. And to Jesus, to forgive somebody's sins or to declare, take up your bed and walk, to rise and walk, was either one was to decree and declare a position of healing for this person. I think one of the things that we get confused about in terms of 1 John 1:9 is that we think, I'll give you this story. Back in the 92 and 94, the genocide in Rwanda, almost two-thirds of an entire people were wiped out in 100 days. There were almost a million Tutsis that were destroyed, killed, and by the Hutus. And so if you don't know the story, it's a long story to try to explain it. But when the Interahamwe was called forth to begin to slaughter the Tutsis, people who had been friends all their lives, neighbors, school teachers who had helped raise children, macheted them to death. It was just an amazing slaughter that happened, this genocide attempt. If the Tutsis themselves that came up out of Uganda had not stopped it, the West would have sat back and allowed every single Tutsi to have been slaughtered probably within the next month or so. Just amazing thing that happened. But the sad reality is 85% of Rwanda is Roman Catholic. Now that's not the sad reality, but what would happen is that you'd have people who would slaughter friends and neighbors, children that they've known all their lives, babysat, taught them in school. They would slaughter them with machetes, and in the afternoon or the evening, they'd go to see their priest, make their confession. The priest would give them absolution and wake up the next day and start all over again, and did that for almost 3 months. And then you think, is it really that way? Is that the way it works? And I see that evangelicals do the same thing. Don't get so critical of Roman Catholics. We do the same thing. We appropriate 1 John 1:9 all the time. And we'll confess our sins, and then we're grateful when it's all said and done. I'm forgiven, of course, and I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. But I don't think we understand that 1 John 1:9 is about victory. It's about healing. It's not just about forgiveness. He says, if we confess our sins, the word confess means to agree with. So it's not like we walk around introspection, trying to come up with stuff. If the Holy Spirit shows us something and he's faithful to, we agree with him and we call it what he calls it. Selfishness or greed or pride or whatever. And we confess our sins. And then this scripture says this wonderful thing. He's faithful and he's just. He's not just faithful. We know he's merciful. But he's just, because you see, Jesus Christ, those sins have already been paid for in the person of Christ. We were taken to the cross, and we went to the place of execution in the person of Christ. And so we, in the person of Christ, has already paid for all sins we'll ever commit, but we go to him in confession to appropriate the forgiveness that's ours. And so he's just to forgive us. He's obligated himself to forgive us because the debt has been paid. He can't do double jeopardy. But here's the thing, that once you've confessed your sins and you're forgiven, isn't that what we're after? I mean, isn't that the deal? Aren't we after being forgiven? Whew, I'm forgiven. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I don't have to carry around guilt in this warfare anymore. I'm forgiven. But he goes beyond forgiveness. He says he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, we're born again into a position of victory over sin's power, over Satan's power, and over the power of death. It's a victory that Christ won on our behalf. And the moment we become a Christian, we're in Christ. And we're in him, victorious over all those things. When greed or jealousy attacks you in your thought life, you can stand in the victory of Christ. You can stand and thank the Lord and in faith thank you that I'm already victorious over this issue. I don't have to fight for a victory. I stand fighting from a place of victory. No matter what the sin might be, Christ has already conquered it on your behalf. You know, as I've told you before, the enemy's job, we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, is to try to move you off that position and try to fight for victory. Instead, we fight from victory. We stand. We decree that Christ is my victory and that thing has no more power over me. That was true the moment you became a Christian. The baby, the littlest baby Christian, I mean by that in terms of how long you've been a Christian, has just as much victory in Christ as the oldest, most mature believer. That's your position. But every time we sin, we've moved off our position of victory, our faith position. We're still victorious in terms of what Jesus has accomplished, but we've moved off of that. We've stopped believing and we've given in to sin. And so he forgives us. Whew, no more, I don't have to carry the guilt. I don't have to carry that burden. But he doesn't just forgive us, he heals us. He restores us to that position of victory again. He cleanses us. To cleanse somebody is to say, I forgive you for spilling that on your shirt, is one thing. But for me to cleanse you means there's no longer a stain on your shirt. That's no longer part of your history. That's no longer part of your story. You're not going to have to fight for the position of victory again. You're now standing in that. I've restored you to that place. I've healed you of that. Does this make sense to you? Confession of sin is one of the most powerful inner healing things you can do, or victory things you can do, because to be forgiven, that should be enough. But it's not just forgiven. You've come over here. Here's your position of victory. The enemy's moved you over here and you've fallen. You've confessed your sin. You're forgiven. But to be cleansed means he's moved you right back to where you were, as if that never happened. And so you don't get to talk about the stain because there's not a stain there anymore. You don't have to talk about the defeat because there's not a defeat anymore. You're right back in the position of victory as if you never failed. That's the grace of God. Amen? Now you're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate, but I pray that this will sink in. It'll be one of the most important things you'll ever hear. It's a healing. That man, Jesus said, I can either say you're forgiven or rise up and walk. But there's something about forgiveness and healing that go together. You don't just get healed, you get cleansed. You don't just get forgiven, you get cleansed, and that's healing. That's restoration. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.